You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Treasure Coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in Cocoa, Florida. We're heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere on God's magnificent planet.
That's right. All over the World Wide Web on 1510
WWBC. You're on the World Wide Web right now, Miss Ellen.
I am currently on the World Wide Web. Absolutely. Right there on 1510 WWBC, you can hit that listen live button, guess on any one of your listening devices. Of course, we archive the shows there as well. You can hit that on demand button. We are on each and every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. You'll see that as the link. And then, of course, we post everything after the show, which is downloadable on our website and all of our social media channels, which is on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends and Sita Media Inc. .com.
That's right. And we've got a lot of people that tune in, new listeners, we like to call them. Yes. And we'd like to give them a little update about our show. We are heard on AM 1510 and the FM stations, but we've been on air almost 14 and a half years. Ellen, thank you very much. Ellen is my co-host. She's been with me forever. She's like my right hand. I couldn't do the show without her. And then Allie, of course, came along after as a friend of Ellen's, and she joins us on Mondays as well. We sit here on Mondays and we talk about kitchen table topics, anything that somebody wants to talk about, if they want to talk about clean air, water, sunshine, workshops, the churches, they want to talk about a bank, opening a bank, borrowing money, lending money, credit, finances, whatever it is, Viewpoint with Sita and Friends will give you an opportunity to be on our platform. And I think it's wonderful that community radio is still alive and well right here in Brevard County, Florida. Danny, thank you for running our board and being part of our show. And today's no different. Our good friend, Aaron Harvey, was kind enough to send over Mr. Garrison Moreno, and he is the service director that's here on our show on behalf of the Boys and Girls Club right here of Cocoa, Florida. And he brought with him two wonderful young ladies, Simaya Davis. She's the Youth of the Year for the Cocoa Branch. And Ashala Lewis, the club member of the Cocoa Branch. They're both here to represent the Boys and Girls Club. And our second segment will be, Ellen, believe it or not, our friend Cam Sholey is here. And he is here from Toronto. Yeah, he's visiting in Florida. And he's going to be on the second segment to talk about, you know, how he's taken his energy and he's using it to help people to move forward in life before they leave planet Earth. Learn to forgive. Learn to listen. And be part of our universe where they can make a difference in someone's life and maybe the community as well. And what happens when our community is healthy and wholesome, then the state of Florida will be healthy and wholesome, right? And so will Toronto and everywhere else. I think it's about leaving a good footprint behind for our grandchildren and the next generation. And so that would be our second segment. But for now, we're going to speak with the lovely folks from the Boys and Girls Club. And I don't know if our listeners are familiar with the Boys and Girls Club, but this is an organization that's been around for a very long time, Mr. Garrison. So talk to us a little bit about it and how you got involved.
Yeah. So thank you for having us on, Sita, first and foremost.
Yes.
We're excited to be here. First time a listener and first time on the air ever. I think we can say that, right, ladies?
Yeah.
We're excited to be here. Our organization has, you know, it's a long, long history. It goes back, you know, to the turn of the century with the first Boys and Girls Clubs. I'm trying to think. It's been such a long time since, you know, you think all the history degrees I got as a kid. I would be able to remember my history about my own organization.
And I like that.
But it's the day-to-day fun.
Exactly.
I like the fact that the Boys and Girls Club, the mission is to inspire and enable all young people, especially from disadvantaged backgrounds. I like that. Because everybody needs that.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Most definitely. And the ladies that started the club way back in the day, even before our organization was formed, which came about in 1944, they recognized, you know, back in the day in New York, kids are running around. There's not really much structure. They're getting into trouble.
That's when the latchkey name came around, right? Latchkey kids, where it was you were a kid that basically had your house key around your neck because you were going home to an empty home.
Yeah.
You know, because most parents were working by then, right after the Great Depression, everybody was worried about money.
Oh, yeah. And parents worked 12-hour days. The 8-hour day wasn't invented yet.
Right.
So that was something that came around with the Progressive Era. So people realized that there was a need to get these kids off the streets and have them doing something to make them better people, versions of themselves. And so we're carrying along that legacy down here in Central Florida, specifically over here in Brevard County at our Cocoa branch, our Titusville location, and our Temple Terrace location, is to get these kids involved in things that they wouldn't otherwise do. And I'm glad that you brought up our mission and what we aim to do. I always like to say that, you know, we want to get our kids exposure. And when I say exposure, what I mean is we want them to see things that they otherwise wouldn't get to. So, you know, Samaya, the first thing that pops in my head for you would be when you got to go to Universal. That was something you'd never done before, but because of the clubs, you could.
Yeah, it was really fun too.
Yeah, you can never go wrong with a good trip to Universal Studios.
Absolutely.
But things like those types of events, and it's not just it goes beyond just having fun. It's also practical use. So we have a workforce readiness program, and we try to show our kids that there are different avenues. Yes, college is one, and we help our kids try to get scholarships and go to wherever they want, and we aid them on that journey. We also show them life skills. Like today, we were doing, what were we doing in the art room today, ladies? We were making what?
Oh, we were building Christmas ornaments.
Christmas ornaments.
Right.
But we were using hammers and nails to do it.
Oh, cool.
So. So I
heard some very interesting facts about what you guys are doing here in Brevard County, Florida. And last year, 349 vibrant Brevard County youths attended the three local clubs.
Yep.
And Aaron sent me like a breakdown of the folks that attend the clubs. 51% were boys, 49% were girls, right? 64% of those were African Americans, and 20% were multiracial. And then you had some Latinos and whites, and you had, and I like that the single parents get a chance, if they're making under a certain amount, to be part of the club. It's sort of like it's income-based in some areas.
Yeah, so we do have scholarship opportunities, especially during the summer, because that's the time of year where, you know, the price goes up in terms of sending your child to the club. So we try to help those families that truly need us. And we want to be there for the families of Coco that do need us. During the school year, to come to the club, if you're 6 to 12, it's $30. That's for the whole year. That includes Christmas break, spring break, Thanksgiving break, and we serve hot meals to all the kids that come through the door every day at 5.
Right. And also, a lot of these kids that you all serve at the Boys and Girls Club here in Brevard and Titusville, they also receive free and reduced lunches as well. And how do you all find the kids? What is your referral system to find the kids that come to the club?
So we have it's a little bit of a two-pronged approach on that one. A lot of it is word of mouth. You know, our kids that have come forever, like Samaya has been with the club, and we'll get into this, but even before the club was open.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I remember the young people that were here last time, they had said that basically they had heard it from a friend at school, that they had a boys and girls, and then went home and talked to their parents about it. So that's a great, you know, again, that the outreach has to be there. You have to be, like, all the young people need to be talking about it.
Yeah. And so a lot of it is word of mouth. But lately I've I myself and with the work of our coworkers like Aaron and my boss, Jamari, we've actually gone into the schools and, you know, set up booths and try to host different events to get the kids excited to want to come.
Yeah.
Because it's such a different world.
Do you also partner with Brevard County Schools as well?
We work in cooperation with them. So, but we don't have I don't believe we have an established partnership as of right now, but we try our best to work with them in cooperation.
Right. So, Samaya, you are the Youth of the Year of the Cocoa Branch.
Yes,
right?
I
so
am.
So, you could say hello to our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. You have to be bold and brave and lift your shoulder up and say hello to the listeners. and so, some of the things you're learning at the Boys and Girls Club is health and life skills. You're learning character and leadership development. And you're also learning great self-esteem and self-confidence. Talk to our listeners a little bit about how you got involved and how did you get involved?
So I got involved. We saw an old building getting turned into the Boys and Girls Club. It was my older brother. He went home and talked to my mom about it. And she was like, oh, yeah, we'll look into it.
And there you were. All of a sudden, then you were looking into it. Where was the building?
It's on Dixon. It's across the street from Arbetters.
Is it still there now? Is it the same place?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Oh, fantastic. Awesome. So where is it around? So what other things are you able to do in that particular area as the Boys and Girls Club?
We go to Cocoa Village. Like, we go on field trips. We have, like, picnics and stuff like that. It's really fun. We do a lot.
What are some of the things what's a day in the life? So, like, you go to school during the day, and then you go to the Boys and Girls Club after school?
Yes.
Okay. And you're 18 now,
yes.
Right? So, like, you're in high school. And
you look really young.
I know.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, Ashla, is it Ashla? How do you say your name? Ashla. You're so cute. So, talk to us a little bit about how you got involved, because you seem, you know what, you're not shy at all. You remind me of myself at that age. So you got involved with the Boys and Girls Club, and you're meeting a lot of people, and you're having a lot of friends, and you have something to do after school. You look forward to going every day, correct? Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're talking to Mike. Tell us how you got involved, and how do you get to and from the Boys and Girls Club?
I got involved with the Boys and Girls Club because my cousin went there when I was younger, and then my brother started going, so I was like, whenever I turn whatever the age role is, so I can go there. Now I'm here, and I get involved with the Boys and Girls Club because I'm, how do you say it? Like a leader. I'm a leader.
Yeah. Yes, you are. Yes. That's.
And, like, I like to dance. I sometimes help some of the girls dance. I like to do hair, do art. It's really fun at the Boys and Girls Club, too.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's good that, you know, you guys are getting them involved in so many activities because not every child is cut out for college, right? Some children are cut out for trade.
Exactly.
Right? And so when you teach them skills early on in life, you're shaping the future of America, actually.
Yeah, I'd like to say that, I tell my staff, we are not in the child caring business, we're in the construction business.
Right.
We're building the future leaders
of
America.
It's like blocks, building blocks, right?
Yeah, this is the structure that we're giving the kids and the exposure to different things to choose their avenues in life.
So Mr. Garrison, Garrison Moreno, you have kind of like two last names.
I know, right?
Yeah. How come? Yeah. Garrison Moreno, you'd be like Garrett Moreno.
I know, I got named after a Heisman winner.
Yes.
My dad thought I was going to be a football player. Boy, was he wrong.
So what specific programs or activities does the club offer for the youths in Melbourne? Talk to us about some of all the services and stuff like that.
Yeah, so we have a bunch of different programs, both in the works and currently happening. Currently, we have three programs going on right now. We have our Youth Leadership Institute program that's being run by Lynx. So a volunteer organization, Lynx, is coming in and working with us to run a leadership program for kids ages 11 to 13. So those kids they're developed. What did we do last time? We were doing our shirt. They were making shirts to kind of rep their mm-hmm. their club. And we were doing that program. We also have a junior NSBE program. So the National Society of Black Engineers is coming in and running an engineering program for the kids to teach them.
Maybe you could get Mr. Cam to come in
one day,
and speak to them. We're going to have to do some
marketing. Oh, yeah, I know. That's what I'm looking over it.
And what are the hours of operation for the club, and how does the membership process work? Is it fee-based, and can someone sponsor a child? How does that work?
I'm sorry, can you just repeat that for me?
What are the hours of operation?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then the second question was, how does the membership process work?
So the hours of operation, so we're open Monday through Thursday, 2:30 to 8. And then on Fridays, because everyone gets out early, we're open at 1:30 to 8. Our younger members, 6 to 12, are able to come into the club from 2:30 to 6 p.m. And then they go home, and then that 6 to 8 p.m. is that's the teen time. They get to have the run of the club, and they get to do their own activities because, you know, they all have extracurriculars.
That must be a cute little, like, graduation process from when you're, you know, you're able to get to that next level, right? Because I know I would be like, I can't wait till next year because I get to be in that program, in the teen program.
Yeah, it's super exciting because when all the little kids leave, we have the club to ourselves. Yeah. So we can do activities.
You can dance.
Yes, we
can.
You can
put on Miley Cyrus Flowers and dance.
Yes, we have the club to ourselves.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's so much fun.
Yeah, it's not only like a rite of passage within the club. It's like a physical rite of passage. So we're two stories. Bottom levels for our younger members, 6 to 12. Then as soon as you turn 13, you get to go up the magical stairs. The magical stairs. And you get to line up and go up to the teen center. And the teen center is just...
It's a giant,
I know, right?
So, Garrison, let's say someone is listening to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today, and they're saying, well, I'd like to sponsor a child. How would they do that?
The best way to do that is to go onto our website and... In the top tab, so our website is www.bgccf.org, and on that website there's a couple different tabs you can click. If you want to sponsor, there's a donation tab that you can click, and you can go on that. If you want to volunteer at the club, that's actually something that we do with a lot of community partners. They come in and teach different things, different life skills. Shiloh over here was reminding me that we have a literacy program that comes in once a month, and they actually go through finances. What did you guys do last month? What did you guys talk about?
We talked about how we should save money and, like, keep it in our bank account, so whenever we actually need it, we can have enough money and, like, budget and limit ourselves for spending money. And then whenever we were done and everybody did a great job, we got, like, treats and stuff, make the kids happy.
That's awesome. Yeah, and then there's all in that program, there's something for the younger kids and then the teens. You guys, weren't you guys going over credit scores or something like that?
Yeah, how to check our credit scores and how to keep our credit high.
Well, they're getting you ready to buy a house later on.
Definitely.
Yeah. Because if you don't have credit card debt, if you're doing good with that, if you know how to save, you can save up your 10 to 15% for a home.
Yeah.
And, you know, the state of Florida also gives you some money. So if you know how to save and you know how to watch your credit, you'll be able to buy a home by the time you're 22 years old.
Definitely. Auntie Sita and Auntie Ellen will always
That's
be
right.
here
That's
to help you.
Don't worry
about
that. That's generational way.
You come find us. We will come help you.
So for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Mr. Garrison Marino. He's the service director in the Cocoa Beach branch for the Boys and Girls Club of Central Florida. And he brought with him Samaya Davis, who is the Youth of the Year for the Cocoa Branch, and Ashla Lewis, she's a club member of the Cocoa Branch, and they're just delightful young ladies. So, you know what? A lot of parents, when they send their kids for extracurricular activities, they're concerned about safety. They're concerned about the environment, and they're concerned about the staff who is in that building when the doors are closed with their children. What safety protocols does the Boys and Girls Club have for parents to feel secure that their children are safe in that building?
No, that's a great question. So for the Boys and Girls Clubs of Central Florida, safety, obviously the number one priority in any of our clubs, especially our club here. I take that very seriously. All of our staff have to go through a background check process. So we vet all our staff to make sure that, you know, they can work with kids.
Yes.
Because they're the reason why we're there, and we want to protect them as much as we can. So all of our staff go through a fingerprint background, a drug screening, the whole nine yards to make sure that our kids are with committed adults who are genuinely care about them and their safety and well-being. And then in terms of our facility, it's a secured facility. All the doors are locked. In order to get into the facility, we have a front desk coordinator that has to buzz you in. So if, you know, for some reason there's someone random or something, or we don't know who that person is, we're obviously not letting them into the building. And even our volunteers who come into the building, they have to go through a background process, the same background checks that we do with our staff.
Right. And is it pet friendly?
Unfortunately, no.
Right. Yeah, you have to be careful.
Yeah, we have to be careful. I've, you know, having worked with in this field for, you know, almost 15 years now, seen one too many parents walk in with a little dog, and then all the kids get excited. They want to go pet the dog, but the dog is like overwhelmed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, oh my God, too many hands at once.
So, Samaya, if you were to meet other children and you were to tell them about the Boys and Girls Club, if you have like 30 seconds to tell them something great and instill self-confidence and motivate them to join the club, what would you tell them that the club did for you?
Well, when I was young, I struggled in school. And the club helped me get back on track. They helped me with my homework. They made sure, hey, Samaya, you got homework. Oh, you need to do your homework. Make sure everything is good. Like, they're just always there for you. Like, they have your back. It's like a big, giant family, and
like
I love it.
Like a big brother, big sister.
Yes.
And then I guess it helps your parents because when you go home, you don't have that additional stress to get the homework done.
Yeah, so my parents got off of work. They didn't have to check my homework. They just come pick me up. We go home, eat dinner. Be fine.
Yeah. And how about Ashley? Yeah, how about you? When you, huh?
Ashayla.
So
I mean, I just got it, so I need to Ashayla podcast.
So Ashayla, what about you? I mean, you're 11 years old, and you're just full of energy, and you're in yellow, my favorite color. If you were in school and you had little kids who were misbehaving, and you say, you know what, this person could benefit, what would you tell them? What would you tell someone who was misbehaving in school and you think that this club would help them?
I would tell them they would be like, they would try to encourage you to do better in life. They would try to, like, help you not be bad. Like,
instill good values.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you had, like, F, they would help you try to bring your grades up. They would help you do a lot of stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
such an incredible program in general. And of course, I haven't been part of it, but I was a latchkey kid, you know, up in New Jersey when I was younger, and I remember clubs like this being such an integral part of my growing up. I remember my counselors and the people that were there that were supporting me and helping me do my homework. As a matter of fact, I learned the best tricks of test taking from the people that were in my community that were able to do that. And I have 8 older brothers and sisters. You'd think I'd get some help. You know, but no, it came from the community, and that's what meant the most.
See, in our
and
house,
it's the
it
most
was,
memorable.
It was the older siblings that were your mentors. They were supposed to sit down and teach you to do your homework, iron your clothes, polish your shoes, and get your uniform ready for the morning. But not all families have that. Right. That's why it's so very important to have clubs like the Boys and Girls
this
Club.
This is the village we talk about.
Because you all are taking the place of older siblings or grandparents or extended family members that a lot of people don't have. But I do know that you encourage a lot of academic success. So
yes,
how
we
does
do.
The Boys and Girls Club build character and help people who are trying to achieve academic successes?
So we have a program within the club called Power Hour. This is a national program that we participate in. It's the first hour of when our kids get to us. So from 3 to 4, everyone takes out their homework, and we're getting it done. We're going to work with the staff who is there to help you. If you have questions, if you have, you know, struggles with different homework, we're there to help. And you want to know what? If we don't know, we're going to learn it with you because we're going to take the time. We're going to figure it out and make sure that you understand it.
Right.
We also, a part of this program and a part of our club is we check kids' grades. We do grade checks on all of our members because, you know, we do fun, cool, like field trips, kind of like this.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure that, you know, our kids are doing academically okay, because if they're not, I want to prioritize
them.
That.
Yeah, you can't reward people for not paying attention. But, you know, another thing, too, character building is important. We're all watching with social media what's happening with bullying and things like that in our nation,
yes.
Right? So you encourage a lot of character building. You guys encourage self-confidence. Talk to our listeners on Viewpoint with Cena and Friends a little bit about some of those specific goals that you help the youths with.
So in terms of, you know, building character and leadership, a lot of it starts when they're really small. It's learning, you know, those life skills, the what I call playground skills. You know, when you're really young, you're learning like how to interact socially, emotionally with the kids. That social emotional development is the key to understanding how you are as a leader, how you are successfully outside, you know, academics. So we are there to be, we're the scaffolding to help them navigate conversations with their peers. You know, what happens when, you know, well, two kids are fighting over a block or some game. We're there not to tell them, hey, stop it, but hey, let's talk about this. You don't like it. You don't like it. How do we fix this? And coming and having them come up with a solution so that they can get that problem solving skills down, which helps with that social emotional
right. help. And we're watching here, you know, in the United States right now, just prior to the election, we saw a lot of hate. We saw a lot of fear. We saw a lot of people that were judging other people because of the color of their skin, where they came from, you know, how much money they have in the bank, if they're from a single parent, you know, people who have same-sex marriages, whatever. Clubs like the Boys and Girls Club, do you sit down and teach people not to be judgmental so that they can go out there and be the best they can and give the world the best? Because I think that's something that we all need to think about and talk about with young people.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I mean,
so you don't discriminate about any child who wants to join?
No, not at all. If you want to come to the club, you can come to the club. If you have a need, we will try to help you with whatever that need is if we can, you know. So we try to help anybody and everybody that needs us.
Right. And I know you have a lot of events to try to raise money for the club as well. You had that breakfast.
Yeah,
that I attended last year, but I couldn't attend this year.
And we missed you.
So talk to us a little bit about some of the events in town to help the Boys and Girls Club so that we could bring in money to help with scholarships and help the children with field trips and things like that and pay for the building and the rent and the water and the whatever you need for the building. How do we get involved and what events are there coming up?
So in terms of fundraising, that's a little bit out of my area of expertise. Mm-hmm. That's our good friend, Erin,
yes,
our mutual friend.
Yes.
She's the one that handles all of the fundraising for our club in our area. So I'm a little outside the realm on that one. But
they can go on the website and donate.
Yes, exactly. You can go on the website. You can donate. I know we at our club, you know, like you said, we do the Faces of the Future breakfast. So, and that's one of our big events that we do.
And you guys are also in the literacy department. You're doing a lot of stuff with STEM activities as well, I notice, for the
yes.
children. Do any of the girls want to talk about some of the mathematics and science programs that you guys are learning about at this club?
So some of the math activities that we have to do, like they pull us, they take a group, they pull us somewhere, they do math cards, they do.
We've done
science fairs.
Yeah. Science fairs.
Yes.
Remember Nesby when the junior Nesby program that you're part of? Tell them about that. What have you been doing in there?
So for the junior Nesby, we have been doing like this one time. There was this guy. He used to play soccer, but when he was a kid, he was like he had S. He wasn't doing good in math, reading, science, anything. And then he got older. He was still failing and stuff, but then he went to college, he got correct, he played football, now he's like a lawyer, like he's doing big in life. That's one of the things that we've been talking about, and we've been trying to make shirts in Nesby.
So he's given you hope. Yeah. He's given you and so many kids hope, because there's a lot of children there from single-parent households, right? And you guys feel good when somebody come like that and talk to you and show you that there's a good future. So I see you're nodding your head. Were you there for that as well?
It's one of those things that if you learn life lessons that nothing can ever stop you from doing whatever it is that you want in life, like nothing. It's only the story you tell yourself of why you can't have it. And that's what I think, what I pulled from even in my youth of going to, again, community clubs and things that were mentoring, that you realize that, wow, nothing is unaccomplishable.
Yeah.
Like, you can do anything that you want.
Well, what you put your mind
and
to.
And for your, for exactly. the gentleman that helped you and said, like, he was doing bad in school, and then, well, a lot of, I have friends, too, that had the same thing. They had an awful childhood, and they got a little bit of mentoring and some help from folks, and they're fantastic, prominent people that are now doing wonderful things for everybody in the community. And it doesn't matter if they're a lawyer or whether they're,
A janitor.
It doesn't really matter what it is,
really,
because the success comes from everywhere.
Before we go off air really quick, Garrison, so the Boys and Girls Club, in the summertime, a lot of children are home.
Oh, yes.
So talk to us about some of the summer programs that are available for the children.
Yeah, so our summer program is a little different than our school year program. Instead of being from 2:30 to 8, we go from 8 a.m. to 5:30 p.m.
That's wonderful.
Yes, because, you know, we got to fill that need. The parents need a place to have their kids, and we're that program. So every hour on the hour during the summer, we're rotating.
Right.
And we usually do a theme to the summer. This last year, if I'm not mistaken, it was Harry Potter, right, Samaya?
Yes, it was. Nice.
It was a Harry Potter, and it culminated with us going to Universal.
Oh, wonderful.
To go see.
And you're always looking for volunteers to help as well.
Oh, yes.
And it doesn't matter if people can donate an hour or 4 hours a month. You'll take it.
Anything. And honestly, if you have a passion for something that you think kids need to be exposed to, we encourage you to come in and
teach
that.
What about donations? A lot of people have, like, costumes at home. They have stuff at home they could give you all for when you put on your shows and your plays, and people have things that they want to give away. They can also do that if it's in good condition.
Yeah, yeah. If it's in good condition, you think kids are going to enjoy it? Yeah, we absolutely. We're here.
So, and it does take a village, right? The Boys and Girls Club, you're not just here in Brevard. You're all over the United States.
We're actually around the world.
Wow.
Yeah, we have clubs on. Basically, if there's an American base, there's probably a Boys and Girls Clubs attached to it for those
kids.
So
give us a website one more time if somebody wanted to donate time, energy, money, give some whatever they want to do for a child. Because I think it's important that all children, we just can't say we want to be thy brother's keeper in thought, words, and action. We have to actually prove it and show it. And one of the ways you do that is by supporting charities and foundations such as the Boys and Girls Club of America.
Yes. So the website is www.bgccf.org. And that's where you can go to if you want to volunteer, if you want to donate, and if you wanted to find out more about us. Everything's on that website.
And young ladies, I'm going to let you all have the last say. What would you like to say? Two words. Tell us two things that you got from the Boys and Girls Club.
Leadership and self-confidence.
I knew you were going to say self-confidence. So
I've got new friends that really like me, and I've got people that can encourage me to, like, work harder and stuff.
You know what? You're going to soar like an eagle. That's what it is.
There we go.
And don't forget, there's people all around like us that have been on the show for 15 years that we will be here. So if you ever need anything, you let us know, because we want to make sure that we help our community for sure. We are going to take a quick break and listen to our sponsors that have been fantastic to us all year long. And thank you so much, all the sponsors. And we'll be right back with Sita and Friends right after this message.
Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture. 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at cloud9, that's cloud number 9, furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture.
Welcome to MedFast Urgent Care. We are Brevard County's largest urgent care network. MedFast is now open at 7:30 a.m. every day. That's right, 7:30 a.m. every day. We will get you in and out so you can get back to your day. When you are sick or injured, MedFast is here for you 7 days a week. Think fast, think MedFast. With 18 locations, there's a MedFast near you. Call 321-MEDFAST.
Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. What a great first segment we had with the Boys and Girls Club of Central Florida, mainly the Cocoa Beach branch and Cocoa branch right here with Mr. Garrison Morrison and the two young ladies. And our second segment is with our friend Cam Sholey. And Cam actually lives in Toronto, and he's here visiting our great state of Florida. And he decided to just reach out to us and see if he could come on the show. And I'm so excited. It's so good to put a face to the voice for the last time you called in. He is a retired university professor. And Cam has turned his tireless energies into forgiveness and compassion and teaching other people how to do that as well. So welcome to our show.
Thank you so much. It's so great to be back and not be on the phone, to actually be with you this time. It's wonderful.
Yes. It is. It feels good to put a face to the personhood you were. When you called in, we were amazed because your bio was so extensive. You were teaching at one of the Royal Colleges in Toronto at one point.
Yeah.
So tell us your background and how you got involved in all of this.
Yes, I've just retired from teaching at Royal Military College, which is the equivalent of the West Point Academy here in the U.S. So I taught the soldiers that were coming up through the ranks. And after 25 years, I thought, that's enough of that. And I want to pivot to my other passion, which is actually facilitating workshops, human development workshops, where I can push people along and move the needle with them toward who they want to become. And my focus, specific focus right now, is compassionate listening. Last time I was on the show, I remember talking about how I was enjoying being a student in compassionate listening. And a lot's happened since then. They asked me to become a facilitator of compassionate listening, which I jumped on. And I'm also part of the new steering committee, which is like the board of the directors, the strategic direction of the future of compassionate listening.
Right. And of all the things in the God's magnificent universe to think about, you've thought about something that is so interesting: compassionate listening. And we see so much going on in our universe right now where people don't listen. Husbands don't listen to wives. Students don't listen to teachers. Neighbors don't listen to each other. Politicians don't listen. And you've put your finger on something very important here. Talk to us about compassionate listening. What's that all about?
Yeah, okay. So I think we've all been socialized to a point where when someone else starts talking, our mind tends to scatter. And it tends to scatter into something that's relevant to us. So, for example, if I say, you know, I just came back from a trip to Florida, the people listening are in their mind, they're like, they're thinking about their last trip to Florida or how they want to go to Florida. What compassionate listening is about true listening, getting beyond the words that are being spoken. And the main way we do that is we try to listen for three things: the facts, the feelings, and the values. The facts are the facts, as we can all define it. But the real richness is in trying to determine the feelings and the values that the person is sharing with us, because that's what's bothering them. There's something in there that's bothering them. So we can try to garner what are the feelings they're having and what is the value behind that. And a lot of times it's that they've just had a value stepped on by someone, so they're upset about it. Or they might be upset because they're yearning to fulfill a value and they're just not able to do it in this present moment. And then the other little piece I'll throw in is we call it listening with our eyes. So we're always looking for body language and facial gestures that are going to tell us a tale. So if someone's shoulders start to stiffen up when they're talking, whatever they said bothers them. Whatever they just said, even if they didn't
so
say.
So what you're saying is body language is just as important.
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah.
Well, the full communication process, right? It's the way that you sit and stand and mannerisms and whether you're Italian or not with your hands.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I watched a Bollywood film once, and the head roll and the nods of the Indian people in India says a lot about the conversation. Like how they nodded to the left and the right, up and down, to the side. It does. And I was like, this is interesting. So,
but what a fantastic program to start cultivating compassion again in our world. If it's compassionate listening, that's awesome, because I think then it gets to like the next level for me. It would be like anticipating needs, actually.
Right.
So instead of listening for content, you're anticipating needs of what that person is telling you the story for. And I think that's one of the things, Sita, you and I talk about it all the time. We need a little bit more mental health awareness, and we need a lot more listening. And compassionate listening is such a powerful phrase. I don't know that I ever heard it before.
Well, I think you're saying that the person who's speaking has to be heard. And you want people to be empowered when they're speaking so that they are heard, right?
100%. You got it. And they want to be understood, right? And when our minds are scattered, people can tell they're not being understood. So if you focus on them, something I call attentive silence, give them the time. Listening, true listening, is a beautiful gift that we can
give.
So
where were you when we were in first and second grade?
Right.
because here's the thing. The thing is, we go through life rushing. We're all rushing to make the almighty dollar, to pay our taxes, pay our mortgages. We're married to concrete and steel, and then at the end of life, you're like, wait a minute, where did it go? It went by too fast. And you do find that the elderly, like I work in a nursing facility, I've always worked in nursing homes for almost 35 years of my life, they want someone to listen, but we don't have the time. How do you tell their families to come in and be that compassionate listener?
Yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned the rush of life that we all feel. We have a saying in compassionate listening, we need to slow down to the speed of wisdom. So just pull back, and when someone's talking to you, it's about them. Make it about them. Truly hear what they're saying, even if it's a good news story. It doesn't always have to be about suffering. That'll help them light up. But we need to slow down, not problem solve for people, and that's something we all get a tendency to do. You know, someone says they have a problem. Well, here's what you need to do. We're not there yet. Just listen to them, and they're ultimately the ones that need to decide what they need to do. And so slowing down to the speed of wisdom and talking through it with them. And again, just putting your two lips together and letting someone else have the floor, making it about them, is such a gift. And it's so rare these days.
Yeah.
And I want to share with people the importance of giving that gift. And it's not that difficult to get these skills. You just need to lean into it.
Right. And so you're doing your workshops, and you're noticing you have a lot of Gen Zs, of young people that are coming to listen. Talk to us a little bit about the workshops, and you can join in on Zoom. You can do it in person. Where can we find you for the workshops?
Yeah, thank you. So in the spirit of Christmas and the fact that I'm loving my trip to Florida, what I'd like to do is offer some free compassionate listening workshops. And by the way, the term workshop, don't confuse that with a lecture. You're not there to listen to me. It's immersive. You're going to practice. You're going to try it. And so for the month of January and February, I'd like to just throw it out that I will put on some free workshops. So it's very mission-based in the sense that I want to raise funds for churches or for the Boys and Girls Club, that kind of thing. So whether it be cleaner water in Kenya, or, you know, more funding for the Boys and Girls Clubs, I can work with churches or other organizations to raise funds so that they can put it toward their noble cause.
Yeah, and while raising the funds, you're giving people this gift of how to become a compassionate listener, which in turn will help our world, our universe, Brevard County, Florida. because you are giving them the gift that they probably wouldn't have had from anybody else.
Oh, you got it so right. It is win, win, win. I win because I feel great doing all this. You know, I raise money, that organization wins, and then where that money goes. Everyone's a winner. And then the people who walk away with these new skills and a new way of looking at life, they win as well.
So was this a discipline that someone wrote that you were able to become a facilitator for? So do any of the authors and you know, people like the financial guy. Who's the financial guy that's always out there saying you save $1,000 first or whatever? Anyway, Dave Ramsey. So you become a facilitator for that program. Was this a program that was already out and you were able to capitalize on? Not capitalize, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Tap into it.
Tap into.
There's an organization called the Compassionate Listening Project. And that's the organization I'm on the steering committee and I'm a facilitator through. And so it's through them that people can get involved or through me and then I can be the conduit. But that's the organization that I work through. And they put on lots of different types of workshops, you know, customized workshops, workshops on things like self-compassion, introductory level courses up through intermediate and advanced level courses as well.
You also teach topics like workplace safety, which we all know we need in today's world. And you guys are also giving and receiving feedback on that. So talk to us a little bit about, just define that.
Yeah, let me talk just quickly about the podcast that I've just started. It's a YouTube podcast.
Yes.
Called Future Proof Your Career. And my favorite episode is the one on psychological safety in the workplace. Now, physical safety, of course, is very important too. But it's the psychological safety or the lack of it that make people not want to go to work or despise their boss, that kind of thing. So we really need to focus and put a high priority on psychological safety. But that's not just senior management's responsibility. So on our podcast and in a blog I'm writing, it's also everyone's responsibility. For example, you need to make yourself feel safe. And you can do that through self-compassion. And that's one of the things we talk about in compassionate listening, is you cultivate compassion for yourself and for others. And it's that type of thing, community type activities. That's what makes for psychological safety, better teamwork, better camaraderie, and makes people want to go to work as opposed to not want to go to work.
Yeah, make it a happy place.
Exactly.
Yeah, all right.
That sort of thing, and that bullying, I see it so much on the TV that there ought to be a compassionate kind of course at that age as well, not just not wanting to go to work, but not wanting to go to school, you know, right, for those same reasons.
I love that you said that. And that's why I want to get involved with churches, because they understand, you know, do no harm.
Right.
That's one of the main principles, right?
Yeah.
Bullying is harmful. So, yeah, so generally speaking, we tend to cater to adults who are mature enough to understand compassionate listening and, you know, they've had some school of hard knocks in life, have some battle scars. But listening to the last segment, to your point, I'm thinking in my head, I'd like to do one catered to youngsters as well and get them off on the right
foot. It just seems like it's growing in with the problem of bullying. And it could be, you know, fancy, better than you girls that are messing with other little girls.
It starts from the top. We saw a lot of that during the election season as well. We saw grown men bullying people as well.
Yeah.
But your book, Kim, you wrote your book, This Happy Home. You've written that the compassionate listening was you were able to heal from compassionate listening. Who was there for you to listen to you when you, as a child, all the trauma you went through? Was there a group that listened to you, or did you have to do both roles and listen to yourself?
I pretty much listened to my inner monologue.
Yeah, I would think so.
There were no adults to turn to. Even in school, the people they called guidance counselors, they were there to guide your academics. And, you know, it's just you didn't talk about stuff like that back in my day. So you had to talk to yourself.
I talk to myself sometimes, too. And you found, like, with compassionate listening, you find that you are telling yourself more about how to forgive. how to move forward. That as a child, you listening to yourself with compassionate listening, that must have been difficult because you had to forgive some people who really hurt you.
Yeah, you know, and again, getting involved in compassionate listening really helped, because anyone who writes a memoir and should do this is to show compassion for the persecutors in the book, the bad people, and say, well, they did that. What was behind it? Why might they have done that? And search for every little reason you can. Almost be an advocate for them.
Yeah.
For the moment. And that's how you can start to really soften your resentment toward people. And then if you soften your resentment, I found that forgiveness just kind of followed.
Yeah, well, you know what it is, too. It's the one way to heal broken relationships is compassionate listening and compassionate thinking. My mom used to speak to herself every once in a while, and we were like, who is she talking to? But she was able to problem solved because she would talk to herself, and then she talked herself out of whatever it was she was thinking about. And I think that's a skill. I think compassionate listening and being able to heal from trauma is a skill.
And yeah. my other piece to that was that I learned that when I stopped putting expectations on other people, I got the least disappointed, because I realized that when you go in non-judgment, you go in, I used to call it when you go in question and not in judgment, right? If you ask questions more than you say, this is the way it's supposed to be, you learn, not only learn so much about the other person, but you also gain a whole nother level of respect for not just the conversation, but the content of the quality of the character of the person that you're talking to.
Right.
So it's just an amazing thing. And I'm so glad you're bringing it up. I was just looking it up online and they have they have it actually online, the five practices of compassionate listening, that we'll make sure that we put it as a link to you, so that way people can contact you as they read this.
So
it's awesome.
So for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Mr. Cam Shirley. He is a repeat guest. He's an author. And now he's talking to us a little bit about compassionate listening and why he has chosen this as his profession right now, right? This is what you're doing. So the thing I noticed that one of the exercises you do, you ask people to write down three things, positive things about themselves, right? And then later on, they're going to write something else. So talk to us about that exercise with the cruel things and the positive things.
Yeah, okay.
That's interesting.
Right, right. So my co-host, the podcast co-host and I, she's a Gen Z and I'm a Gen X. And together we have these vastly different perspectives that make for interesting conversation. Anyway, we're coming out with a 2025 day planner, and each day has a prompt in it. And so what you're referring to is one of the prompts one day says, list three things, cruel things that your inner monologue says to you. So three things that are critical about yourself. And then we leave it at that for the day. But a week later, it says, go back to those three cruel, critical things that you say to yourself. What are some other kind things you might say to offset that? Because what self-compassion is about is almost pretending that you are a really good friend. And if a good friend of yours was down and out and not feeling good about themselves, would you crap on them? Would you say nasty things to them? No, you'd soothe them. You'd be nice to them. You'd try to lift them back up. So if you would do that for a friend or a family member, do it for yourself.
So you're saying, Cam, is be your own best friend.
That's a start. Absolutely.
Yeah. In order to heal from trauma or any kind of injustices, you can't sit there and feel sorry for yourself. You can be a compassionate listener for yourself by using pen and paper and writing down everything and then go back and adjust it.
Absolutely. And journaling is very important.
So why? I mean, this is such an interesting topic because we see what's happening with books banned and all this kind of stuff, right? How can we get this program, Compassionate Listening, in schools where it could be like a program, an elective? Because not only is it going to help you in school, but it's going to help you as an adult. And we might even see more psychosocial needs being met if people can compassionately listen to themselves or others.
I would love to see it in schools, absolutely. If it's not a course, at least a part, a section
yeah.
of a course, absolutely. Because like you said, it's a life-altering type thing. It can help you navigate the rest of your life in a far more positive way.
I remember having a complaint and being able to talk to one of my best friends, and much to what you said, and I was very negative against myself at the time because it was one of those situations. And she said to me, which I use now forever and ever, she said to me, now imagine that you heard this from your best friend. What advice would you give? So not answering, not fixing the problem like we talked about earlier, not giving advice, but what would you say to your best friend if they told you, me, what you just said? And all of a sudden, it was like a revelation. I was like, oh, I would do this, I would do that. And then it was a quickest way of solving my own
right.
head game that was going on, because that's what it was.
Sometimes that's all it takes, right? So to become a compassionate facilitator, listening facilitator, there's no skills required except a good heart and that you want to help people. How does one join you and your organization to become a compassionate facilitator?
You go to the Compassionate Listening Project, find an introductory course, and get started there and see if it's for you. Fingers crossed, it should be for you because it should be for everyone. Everyone can benefit from this, but that's the way you start, is taking an introductory course or working through me, because I have crash introductory courses, shorter courses that you don't have to commit to 10 weeks for.
Right. And, you know, it's almost as though you could do this actually with families, because we see for Thanksgiving and Christmas how many people were torn apart over politics and things like that. But also, I just had an instance where a woman passed away, and when she passed away, she was not speaking to her very close family members. So something like a compassionate facilitator, listening facilitator, would probably help families. You don't have to wait for a big group or Zoom or workshop. You can actually do this at homes for people as well. Do you find that some people reach out and say, hey, I need you?
Not yet, but I will say this, that I'm working on a framework for families specifically. And it starts, again, back to my facilitations. It starts with, what do you want to be as a family? Like, let's define the purpose of the family and everything that's special about it. And the other two key pieces of it are, now that we've defined what we want as a family, the purpose, what are the helpful behaviors that we can do for each other that are going to promote where we want to go? One is compassionate listening. Two is being supportive, those types of things. And the other is, what are the hindering behaviors? What are the things that detract from where we want to go? And there's a list of those too: interrupting each other, lack of patience. Compassionate listening has taught me patience to a much higher level, because when we're impatient with people, it shows on our face, right? And then, you know, that scowl.
Yeah.
And then there's that divide.
So are you saying then that our New Year resolution should be that Danny, Ellen, Allie, and I, all of us should become compassionate listeners?
It's a goal.
It's a goal. Because I think it would help us, help all of us.
Yeah. I would say take a course in it. You don't have to commit to full blown. But I would really encourage everyone to take a course.
Well, here's the thing. Can you talk to the corporations in America and the politicians and all those people? Because, you know, you go to school and one teacher has 22 pupils, students. Mm-hmm. You go to a nursing home, one nurse has 22 patients. Mm-hmm. You're in a aircraft and one flight attendant has X amount. So it's almost as though the most precious gift we all need right now is time. How do we get that time to become a compassionate listener and actually put it into action?
So Dr. Rachel Remen put a quote on the end of this listening project that we have to get in before we leave. Listening creates a holy silence. When you listen generously to people, they can hear the truth in themselves, often for the first time. And in the silence of listening, you can know yourself in everyone. Eventually, you may be able to hear in everyone and beyond everyone the unseen singing softly to itself and to you.
Yeah,
that's beautiful.
Oh, that is beautiful.
So Cam, where can we find you if we want to send the information out for our friends and family? And maybe, like the guy who was here at the Boys and Girls Club, maybe they can call you as well. Give us your website or your contact information.
Yeah, so my website's the easiest way, camscoley.com. So it's my name, all strung together, .com. And all my contact information is on there.
And your book. Tell us where we can find your book and the name of the book.
Yeah, I'm proud of the way the book's going. It's doing well on Amazon. I have a goal of selling 1 million copies, so I'm not quite there yet. But it can be found on Amazon.
Well, great. Once again, the Viewpoint When See It and Friends is coming to a close. It goes so quick. I apologize, Cam. Thank you so much for